From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. Alan Gross, the American contractor released by Cuba and now back home in the U.S., spoke today after his return. Gross says he hopes the U.S. and Cuba can now move beyond what he called their mutually belligerent policies now that the administration has announced the resumption of relations with the country. On Capitol Hill, Florida Senator Marco Rubio, the son of Cuban immigrants, denounced the moves by the Obama administration as another concession to tyranny. He said plans to reopen a U.S. embassy in Havana may run into opposition.
I anticipate we're going to have a very interesting couple of years discussing how you're going to get an ambassador nominated and how you're going to get an embassy funded.
Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell also has been critical of the change in policy. Some Cuban exiles in Miami were outraged while others were ecstatic over the news. The U.S. also plans to ease economic and travel restrictions with Cuba. A federal jury in Manhattan has convicted a New York City jail guard today of violating the civil rights of a mentally ill prisoner who died at Rikers Island in 2012 after swallowing toxic detergent, as Elisa Roth reports from New York.
Terrence Pendergrass was captain on the special unit for mentally ill prisoners at Rikers, where Jason Echeverria was being held. The jury said Pendergrass violated Echeverria's civil rights by repeatedly ignoring his cries for help and denying him urgent medical care, telling other guards not to bother him unless there was a dead body. Rikers Island, which is New York City's largest jail, has been under increased scrutiny lately, especially for its treatment of inmates with mental illness. Two other mentally ill inmates died there recently. Pendergrass has been suspended without pay. His sentencing is scheduled for April, and he faces up to 10 years in prison. Echeverria's family has also filed a civil lawsuit against Pendergrass, the city, and other guards. The date for that trial hasn't been set. For NPR News, I'm Elisa Roth in New York.
Federal prosecutors are calling it the largest federal indictment ever against a group of people in connection with a deadly outbreak linked to contaminated medicine. Prosecutors say 14 former owners and employees of a Massachusetts compounding pharmacy that mixed tainted steroid injections are being charged. A total of 64 people died. Federal Reserve policymakers appear to be on track to hike their benchmark interest rate sometime next year. As NPR's Stonitsky reports, Fed Chair Janet Yellen clarified the Fed's thinking in a news conference today.
Yellen said most Fed policymakers believe they'll be ready to raise rates next year, but she suggested the rate hike would not come during the Fed's first couple of meetings, though she didn't completely rule it out. Other remarks suggested the first rate hike since the Great Recession could come next summer.
A number of committee participants have indicated that in their view, conditions could be appropriate by the middle of next year.
But Yellen says there's no preset date, and the timing depends on continued growth and improvement in the job market. John Idstey, NPR News, Washington.
On Wall Street, the Dow was up 288 points today. You're listening to NPR. Sony's taking no chances in terms of screening the controversial comedy The Interview. Premieres of the movie set for tomorrow night in New York have already been canceled. Now a nationwide release slated for Christmas Day is off. The movie starring Seth Rogen and James Franco is about a CIA plot to kill North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and has outraged North Korea. In recent weeks, Sony, the company that owns the studio releasing the film, has been subject to a major computer hacking incident. The U.S. Supreme Court has cleared the way for young immigrants in Arizona to get driver's licenses. As KJZZ's Drew Joffe Block reports, Arizona was one of two states that denied licenses to this category of immigrants.
This case has been pending since 2012, when the Obama administration granted young people brought to this country illegally as children the chance to avoid deportation and get work permits. Arizona Governor Jan Brewer responded with an executive order barring these immigrants from getting driver's licenses. And now the U.S. Supreme Court has cleared the way for an appeals court order to proceed, which requires Arizona to issue licenses to these immigrants. That means 21-year-old Carla Chavarria may be able to legally drive in a matter of days.
I won't think I'll be able to believe it until I have the license in my hand.
Arizona could still ask the Supreme Court to review the case. For NPR News, I'm Jude Joffe Block in Phoenix.
Federal regulators say wireless company Sprint illegally billed its customers millions of dollars for text message alerts and other services they didn't ask for. Consumer Financial Protection Bureau saying today it sued the company over its billing for the unauthorized charges on customers' bills, a practice commonly referred to as cramming. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.